Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, 2022, and we are reading and studying the Big Book. We are on page 40, the fourth paragraph down. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the 12 steps, Monica K. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Kara L., Leslie M., and Lorraine N. Towards the end of the meeting, we'll hear from our newcomer greeter, Betsy H., and our announcements person, Shelley E. Welcome to you all. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, 10 a.m. East Coast meeting, is 19,616, or 19616. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, the reference number is 19,618, or 19618. Overeaters preamble. Overeaters Anonymous preamble. We are a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me do service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. And I will now ask Monica K. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Monica Kay. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in the group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name or any related facility or outside enterprise. Let's problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everybody's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 40, paragraph 4. I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. In this frame of mind, I went about my business for a time. All went well. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard a work of a simple matter. One day, I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. I had been out of town before, and during this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about that. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased, and I knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And this paragraph cracks me up because I have been in this position so many times. Oh, I can diet. Yeah, no problem. You know, I have some success. I'm feeling great. I've lost some weight. I'm getting into clothes that I hadn't got into. I have even gone to holiday celebrations. I've been out of town. It's all good. I have found the solution. Why was I so upset before? And this happened over and over because in the next paragraph we're going to read about something. And inexplicably, I could never stay on a healthy eating plan. I could never stay away from my alcoholic foods. You know, I knew if I ate this, I ate more of that and I couldn't stop. So why not just don't eat that? And again, I would return to it. It didn't matter that my life was going great. It didn't matter. It wasn't until I found a power greater than myself that I got to the point where I said, like, I can't stop from starting. And I figured out that I can't do that on my own. On my own, I would have those great periods of time. And I will tell you, those great periods of time got smaller and smaller and smaller until one day I woke up and said, I can't do this anymore. I wish that was the day that I found my power greater than myself, but it took me 15 more years. And then I was truly done and out. And then I was able to say, God, please do for me what I cannot do for myself. And every day I wake up and I say that, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. I give you my life, my body, my soul, my everything. Please guide me. And that's the day that I could go to these places and do things that I never could do on my own. And I work these steps every single day so I can keep that connection. And I'm so grateful that there's a program of recovery, of action, that I can work on every day so that I have that connection. So it's no longer up to me to make sure I have those good spells. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to now take a list of people who would like to share. And please remember, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, let others put their names on the list first. So who would like to share today?
Lisa
Jamie B. M. Jamie M. from Southern California, please.
Okay, I got Lisa B., Jamie M.,
Veronica B.
Roz G., was it? Roz or Roslyn? Which was it?
Roz G. in Palmdale, thank you.
Okay, Roz, thank you. And who's
Veronica B.?
Veronica B.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with these. Lisa B., Jamie M., Roz G., Veronica B., and Kathleen O. Lisa B., please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And thank you, Kathy, for your service and for everyone that's doing service. This is such a powerful paragraph, and it really speaks to me. My experience was the allergy of the body, which I had been minimizing for years and years and years. You know, I one day sat down just recently. How long did I kind of walk around baffled, not able to get recovered? And I used to tell people maybe 11 or 12 years from when I went to my first, well, my one and only, hopefully, treatment center in 1987. But you know what? It was 24 years. For 24 years, I would get abstinent, but then I could never stay abstinent. And I had been in AA for 28 years when I came to A Vision for You. And I met my sponsor, and everyone would say, you have to read the doctor's opinion with a recovered fellow. You have to read the doctor's opinion. And I had been sitting in meetings reading the doctor's opinion. But when I had a recovered compulsive overeater really unpack what that chapter, that reading meant for us as compulsive overeaters, it blew my mind. And I really think it was just the level of desperation. And for me, it was the spiritual pain. It was the emotional pain. I kept waiting for it to get worse in my body, and I was experiencing really serious digestive problems. It was mostly the emotional pain, and I saw, you know what? I could live to be 100 years old and not get recovered. And I decided with God's grace, I can't take any credit. God enabled me to say, you know what? I'm going to listen to exactly what this book is saying to me as a compulsive overeater. And for the very first time, I got entirely abstinent. You know, I would say, well, I don't binge on a jar of mayonnaise. But mayonnaise had my alcoholic ingredient in there in any form, you know. I don't binge on salad dressing. I got entirely abstinent with God's grace and the help of a good sponsor and a strong meeting. And guess what? Like, the book became alive for me. I was able to hear and understand. I had had spiritual experiences many times, but it wasn't until I got entirely abstinent and then jumped into the steps in a state of abstinence. And with God's grace, I had a transformation. But I'm not one and done, you know. It continues. So I'm so grateful to be here. And I spell my name L-E-S-A if anyone wants to reach out. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. Jamie M., please share with us.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for your service. I'm Jamie M., Southern California. Grateful to be here, compulsive eater. Yes. I had an insane mind. I could lose weight. I was like the bomb. I lose the weight. I thought I had it. And then it was like a Sunday. So I, in my head, I'd say, well, Sundays don't count because that's your cheat day. And then it would be another cheat day. And then it would spiral. Okay, everything's fine. I'm just not going to eat this. This is going to be the thing. This is the solution, the right diet, the right everything, until I came into program and I didn't realize I had a disease. And as I listened and kept coming back, I kept hearing my story. I kept realizing, oh my God. And when I heard it was a disease, I didn't get that until someone explained about diabetes and other diseases. Yes. And then I had one-legged stool, physical. I can do this. I'm better than everyone. And so my last bottom, when I surrendered, and I will never, ever forget that. I am grateful I went to the hellhole, not getting out of bed, not showering, stuck in the food, because it saved me. It changed me. I got three legs. I got a spiritual God. When I put my God first, I just open up my hands lately and I say, God, I've learned this in the rooms with this book. This book is a lifeline. This book for me is a solution to my life problems, to my compulsive eating, to everything that matters. And what is amazing is I've been asking for a solution for my medical problems. On paper, there's nothing wrong with me. I've been praying, God, please help me with my solution. How much more do I need? And there's nothing wrong with me. Well, it turns out my sponsor happens to be a doctor. We started talking. I had a little mouth infection 2 years ago in California, a root canal. They were watching it. Well, guess what? I prayed for a solution with God. God, please help me. It turns out the mouth infection, as I went back 2 years later, a couple weeks ago, has tripled. That mouth infection is draining to my body. My sponsor, just I got lucky. She's a doctor. She said, there's your problem. And she's right. I read about it. I talked to the endodontist. I'm getting surgery on the 18th to solve this problem. Yes, I'm still older and I will have medical issues, but not this way. I've never been excited to have my mouth cut open. So now I don't have to suffer like compulsive eating. And I get to share that every day in my life. And when I'm in pain for no reason because of this problem, I use gratitude. I pray to God. I open up my hands a little more. I help others. Whatever I can do to get out of my stinking thinking head. Well, you're in pain. I had, just like on Sunday, I was thinking about ice cream over and over again. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Someone called me. They were thinking about chocolate cake. We shared. We laughed. I said, okay, God, that's pretty funny. Disease wanted to get me because I wasn't feeling good due to this mouth infection. So with that, I pass. I am grateful to be here. Thank you so much for everybody. And this is a wonderful program. Stick around. It's well worth it.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Jamie M. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I love what the, I loved everybody shares, but our lead share, I love what she said that, you know, and I can relate, I can identify no matter how long I have in this program, I still don't know what I'm doing when it comes to eating. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous since 2002. So that's 20 years, almost 21 years. And I have been abstinent for 3 years. And you do the math. I've had all these periods of all these examples. The man of 30, Jim, Fred, or, you know, I don't know all the names perfectly, but I go through periods of, oh, you know, everything's great. And I've got this degree and I've got my home and I've got my all my ducks are in a row. But little do I know the disease of compulsive overeating is, you know, doing push-ups in the closet. And what do I need to do to combat that? Just as was shared, every morning I have to divorce my thinking from selfish, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I have to ask God to direct my thinking because my thinking will get me right back into the food. Yes, I have some maturity. Yes, I have some wisdom. Yes, God gave me a brain to use. When it comes to compulsive overeating, I don't have a clue. That's humility for me. And I have to remember that. And what if I don't remember, I also have incredibly short memory syndrome. So every morning, I must ask God to direct my thinking. I must do what page 86 says. And I'll just round out by saying that I'm working with a sponsor right now who is directing me to really live in the sixth sense. You know, I did some exercises with my five senses, being present now, tasting, listening, looking, seeing things. And now I'm being directed to spend extra time in meditation, breathing in and out. And boy, does that bring a sense of God. It's so powerful. So I'll pass. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Veronica B., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. And thank you so much for your service. And I really relate to this paragraph where it says, in this state of mind, I can't tell you how many times in Overeaters Anonymous, I'm at a healthy body weight. Everything is going great. And the thought comes that I can have that first bite of my alcoholic foods. And when those times arise, it's because I'm not relying on my higher power. It's because I'm relying on self, or I'm in self-obsession, or I'm in fear. And so my experience is like the only time that I am feeling at peace and serenity is when I am trusting God and relying on my higher power. Every other time, it's because I'm in self. And I know today that the solution is God and more God and more God, and that I have to stay current with my sponsor and steps 10, 11, and 12. And I am just so overpaid and grateful for this life that I get to live today with your help, with God's help. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. In this frame of mind, oh my gosh, sounds like trouble to me. So Fred was happy, all was well, not a cloud on the horizon, and still he picked up, you know, the subtle insanity before the bite. Fred's trying to convince himself that maybe he's making too big of a deal of a simple matter. And you know, he had been so certain his self-knowledge would keep him from going back down that rabbit hole, back into the hospital. Self-knowledge will not solve my problem. It certainly didn't solve Fred's. And dieting didn't solve my problem. Exercising didn't solve my problem. My problem was lack of power. And my solution was a power greater than myself that would restore me to sanity. Because trying to control my weight, trying to control people, that's absolute insanity. It's illogical. It's unreasonable. So, you know, that I love page 30, somehow, someday I'll be able to control and enjoy my eating is the great obsession, but it doesn't work. And willpower and power are two different things. I have willpower. I could go on diets and lose weight. I've done it dozens of times, but I needed that power that was deep down inside me, not the ego power between my ears. And on page 55, it says, actually, we're fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. So it's definitely there. And, you know, I could continue to fool myself and talk myself out of admitting powerlessness, or I could take step one. So the main object of the big book is to find a power by which we can live greater than ourselves that will solve our problem. And for Fred, the thoughts of all is well, I have this licked with my willpower, of course, it's going to lead to that mental twist, that one drink, that, you know, that one drink is going to be okay. I mean, I've been there lying to myself that everything is okay. And before I knew it, I was face down in the food. So I love Fred's story because it's great, especially for anybody who feels they can't relate to other people's stories. You know, you may think you're not as bad as other people you hear on the line. And Fred was normal in every aspect, except he was an alcoholic. You know, he didn't live on Skid Row. He didn't get arrested. He didn't have it as bad as Bill and Bob. He was a normal guy with a normal job, a successful businessman. So I came in normal in every other way, with the exception of not being able to control my food. So like Fred, I was hopelessly broken. You know, other than food addiction, my life was quite average. You know, I had my problems, but nothing as profound as what we do hear from Bill or Bob or Ebby. You know, I was more like Fred. He was an alcoholic. I'm a compulsive overeater. And this disease gets worse. It never gets better. You know, the real compulsive overeater won't be able to stop due to the obsession of the mind. You know, I could use willpower and white knuckle my weight off for a period of time, but it was always short-lived. So to become neutral around food, it's a gift. And, you know, we can return gifts, but don't return the gift once you get it. You know, working these steps allowed me to have neutrality around the food. And as long as I take action on a daily basis, stay connected to my higher power, I no longer have to fight the food. And to lead a satisfying, useful life is really a gift and a miracle. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay. We will now take some more names of people who would like to share today. Who would like to share?
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Who else would like to share?
What page, please?
Page 40, the last paragraph on the page. Would anyone else like to share? Okay, Elaine, let's hear from you, and I'm sure you'll stimulate some thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks so much for your service, Kathy. You know, one of the things that really stood out to me in this paragraph is I, there's eight I's in this. I know it's his story, but one of the things that my sponsor used to sing to me, my step study sponsor, was I, it's all about me. And that's kind of my problem. Oh, I'm out here, I'm good, I'm doing well, we got no problem, this is fine, everything's fine, I can handle it, I can take it, I can do it, no problem, not perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. And like a tidal wave, this thought comes in, you know, like a tidal wave, one where I'm standing firm in my own defenses, I'm standing firm in my own capabilities, I'm standing firm in I, me, my. I remember having a gentle tug of war over a glass of wine with my wonderful sponsor. And little did I know that that one decision was going to slowly lead to a slippery slide that became a horrific relapse. So bad, my husband gave me a letter and said, You've taken on a new lover and it's food. Divorce is not an option for us, but we're going to live separately in this house. I had food hidden everywhere. I had no idea that I was on sinking sand, that that beautiful beach walk was actually sinking sand that was going to suck me in. You know, I just thought everything was fine and okay, and I got this. I got this. I got this. That was my problem. If I'm trusting and relying on my finite self, I have learned that no matter what the situation is, whether it's a decision about where to go or what to do or, you know, if I invite my God in, I have a greater chance of success. If I lean into my higher power for direction and serenity around my food, what I thought I had was a successful career was ended up becoming better than I could have ever imagined. The things that I had been able to do, have been able to do. It's an incredible gift. But any of it, I can't do alone. I have got to learn, page 100, to follow the dictates of higher power so that I can presently live in a new and wonderful world no matter what the present circumstances. Page 100, paragraph 1, that's both to me and the new man. So not only can I have serenity around the food, I can have serenity around my family, around holidays, around highs and lows and ups and downs, about political outcomes and elections. I can have serenity by holding on to someone much greater than myself, my loving higher power. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Elaine. Who else would like to share today?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Who is after Leslie?
Cheryl S.
Carol S.
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. I'm sorry, Cheryl. Cheryl F.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. We have Danielle W., Debbie P., Leslie M., and Cheryl S. Please go ahead, Danielle.
Thank you. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. Recovered one day at a time. This, the words that have jumped out in this paragraph for me were, for a time all was well. My business came off well. It was the end of a perfect day. And I realized for me, and I think, you know, I learned this when I was very young, that you went to God when you were in trouble, when you went to God when you needed something, right? And so for a long time, even when I was new in the program, that was sort of my approach to that relationship. I asked for help. I asked for healing. Oftentimes, I was very specific about what I wanted, and I learned as I prayed and meditated and did step work that what I'm really praying for is, you know, to give my life over to God. But I realized that when things were going well for me, I didn't need God. You know, I had it, and that arrogant thinking came back. You know, I thought that I was the one calling the shots. I was the one in control. And look how well I'm doing. And that happened a lot around the food for me. You know, when I was able to stay on a diet for a short period of time or I got to that goal weight, I didn't need God anymore. Look at what I'm capable of. And so what I've realized as I've, you know, strengthened a relationship with my higher power, that relationship is when things are good and when things are bad. That I get to celebrate and be grateful when my life is going well, when I have a perfect day. And I know what the source of that is. I no longer think that that's my doing. You know, that's a gift from God. And in the struggles, that's a gift from God. You know, I have an opportunity to learn something new or be rerouted or re-guided or, you know, healed in a different way. so I don't lose the connection when things are going well. I stay connected in all of the moments of my life. And that for me is a much different, deeper, more meaningful relationship than I had for most of my life. And with that, I'll pass.
so much, Danielle. Debbie P., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Kathy, for your service today. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. And I think I heard everybody say this morning that's shared, but I know how to lose weight. And I can remember saying that for years. I can lose weight all day long. I just can't keep it off. That was my dilemma. And it's always been like, you know, just 20 pounds or 10 pounds, but I just couldn't keep it off. But I would always gain it back. And then when I first, when I started around OA, a person in another program who had seen me around and around, she just said, Debbie, you just don't want to let go and let your higher power or believe in a higher power that will take care of your problems. And she was right. I didn't want to let go of that. I felt for some reason, you know, even babies know when it's time to stop eating. I can do this too. And so I tried. I tried everything. What I've come to find is, first of all, without a spiritual, a daily spiritual reprieve, I will compulsively overeat over anything. It doesn't matter if I'm having a good day and a perfect day or if I'm having a horrible day. I just got to the point where I would eat over anything. It was just whatever was going on was a reason to eat. And today, I don't have to do that. I can ask my higher power for help, and I do. I don't know what my higher power is today. I just know it's not me. And it's bigger than me, and it loves me, and will care for me if I ask. And I have to remember, I heard somebody share earlier that, you know, I've got a built-in forgetter. I need to remember, and I've got all kind of sticky notes here on my computer saying, you know, God help me. God will help if I ask. And, you know, I need willingness. And if I'm agitated, God, give me the right thought or action. All of these reminders I need to have posted right in front of my face because I do forget what's going on. It's easy to do what I've always done. It's painful, very painful. And I have realized that I don't like to live in that pain. I don't like my husband to be mad at me. I don't like my kids to think that I'm not worthy of visiting because I'm going to act crazy. Today, I choose to be abstinent. I choose to rely on my higher power, and I choose to be in vision. And I thank everybody for being here and saving my life today. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Debbie P. Leslie M., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And there's two things in here that really speak to me. It says, and I began to wonder if I'd not been making too hard work of a simple matter, you know, and that's the disease talking to me. Oh, yeah, you know, I got this. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm right about this or whatever. You know, it's just, you know, that attitude sneaking up on me again. Oh, you can be in charge. Oh, you're in control of this. Oh, you got this. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that in the last couple of days. When I say I've got this, I'm in deep, deep trouble. You know, I have got nothing, you know. And the other thing is how he refers to this. He said, I'd been out of town before during this particular dry spell, you know. So I know for myself that what a dry spell was is, yeah, I was on a successful diet. You know, I thought I had it. You know, I said that so many times to so many people, family, friends, you know, oh, I got this. You know, this, yeah, I figured it out this time. Oh, this is the right way I'm supposed to eat, you know, that kind of thing. But the thing was is that finally, you know, I had to surrender to the fact that I don't got this and I can't figure it out myself. There was no combination of foods and, you know, that's a physical part of it, although it's absolutely essential. There needs to be entire abstinence. I could not do this work for myself. When I finally got recovered for the first time, you know, someone came up to me and said, you know, so how'd you do it? And I knew that I hadn't done it, you know, that this has been done to me by working through the steps, by taking these actions that I didn't want to take or was afraid to take. you know, by doing this work, I have been given this gift, as others have spoken of today. And I can, you know, choose on a daily basis to accept the gift or to not, you know. And I know for today that accepting the gift is what I want to do. And that's, you know, and that's how I look at it, because this is a daily reprieve. And if I don't do the work that I need to do on a daily basis, you know, I don't know where I'll end up. But I'm certainly grateful that, you know, that, you know, I have this group and this time to, you know, be able to share, because this was not what my life was like for the first 28 years in OA. You know, I thought I had it. I thought there was something else I was supposed to be doing. And, you know, that was, that didn't work out very well for me. So I'm glad to be here. Thanks for your service, Kathy. I pass.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Cheryl S., please share with us.
This is Cheryl S., recovering in Nevada. And what this paragraph, the way I relate to this paragraph is that both Fred and I were under the impression that it wasn't positive emotions that caused us to, in my case, eat, and in his case, drink, that it was only negative emotions or problems. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what were the exact emotions that would cause me to eat. And I would be baffled because I would eat when everything was good. And I think, well, is something actually bad and I don't realize that it's bad? You know, am I hiding what I really feel? But the truth was, which I've just recently uncovered in my work, is that it's just emotions. I don't eat over anything. I eat over emotions, good emotions, bad emotions, negative emotions. And that's where I need the help. I need the help to figure out how to deal with the emotions. And the way to deal with the emotions I am learning is through the higher power and through the step work. And that's all I have. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl S. We have time for one more share. Would anyone like to share?
Janice K.
Okay, Janice.
Larry G.
And Larry G, if we have time. I'm forgetting. Who was the first person again? Karen?
No, Janice K.
Oh, Janice K. Go ahead, Janice.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, my goodness. These paragraphs are always such revelations, you know. I have to work my program to suit myself. Someone else's program will not work for me. And the truth of my program is I need to take all that self-confidence and all that willpower and all that energy and time, and instead of dedicating it to the management of food, I get to dedicate it to creating and maintaining the relationship with my higher power. Because the only thing bigger than my disease in my life has to be the presence of God. If I cannot manage food, I need help. And relationships, whether they're with people in the world or with powers greater than ourselves, require the same time, commitment, communication, and willingness. So I look at this and I feel the confidence and I feel the smugness and I feel the arrogance and I think, oh, honey, you are in for such a fall. So trust God, clean house, help others. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. And let's see, Larry, go ahead. You'll be our last share today.
Thank you. Larry G. from California, recovered compulsive eater. Oh man, I'm sure. I'm so grateful for a vision for you that we're not a get current meeting. And you really know you're in a 12-step meeting when you're on a vision for you call. Just so grateful for that. Oh, Fred. Oh, God, I relate to Fred. Fred is he's a piece of work. You know, I remember my sponsor in AA years ago put this letter, this paper written by the great late Dr. Harry Tebow, who contributed to the AA movement on grandiosity and defiance. And I could see that myself as a recovering alcoholic, but I never accepted that as a recovering compulsive eater. And I see today, I see the grandiosity and defiance in myself, and I see it in Fred. I can relate to Fred, who is also very grandiose and also defiant. I was asked to do so many things over the years in my time in OA that would have really helped and supported my recovery. But, hey, I got the response, hey, you know, I don't need to come to this meeting early or stay late. And, you know, one meeting's enough, maybe two meetings this week. I got it, right? 10-step before I call you, hey, if I do everything you ask me to do, I'm going to have to get up, you know, quit my full-time job, that kind of thinking. And there's nothing better for a grandiose compulsive reader, a defiant compulsive reader like myself, than a good ass-whipping. And I came to this program in May of 2020 with a blowtorch up my ass. And I'll tell you one thing, I was done. I came in when we were studying a vision for you, and Bill and Bob were 12-stepping Bill. And Bill said, if I step out of this hospital, I'm a goner, and that's exactly the way I felt. Those are exactly my words when I got into this fellowship in 2020. And I still have to work on one of my two character defects, is grandiosity and defiance. And today I'm more coachable, I'm more teachable, but it's a character defect that will probably never go away. I hope one day maybe God will remove it, but God's got a funny sense of humor. Anyway, Fred, yeah, Fred's grandiose, defiant, and he's going to get his ass kicked as well, and we're going to see it in the next chapter. Thank you for calling on me, and I'm out. I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you, Larry G., and thank you to everyone who has shared today and who has listened today. What a wonderful meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and then say the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. I'm Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.